The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
What's going on, Talking Cowboys Nation? Welcome into a brand new edition of Talking Cowboys presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, live from the Star in Frisco, Texas, in the SWBC studios. It is the offseason. We have finished up the NFC and AFC championship games. Now it's the two-week wait until the Super Bowl, and this is a two-week period where a lot goes on. There is a lot happening in the NFL. You've got draft preparation, coaching carousels. You've got continued looks at rosters and self-reflection and a whole lot of craziness. But we're here to break it down for you here over the next 45 minutes. We've got Isaiah Standback, John Mashoda. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Nick Harris is out at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
And we'll check in with him in a couple of minutes.
In Mobile? Well.
In Mobile, yeah. Hmm. What do you think about the Senior Bowl? You like watching these practices every once in a while?
No.
Yeah? I kind of figure. You're not a draft guy.
I'm not a draft guy.
Neither is John.
With him, yeah. I mean, some years I am. It depends on the class.
It depends on
where the Cowboys are picking.
Outside like, the top 20?
Factor in. But, yeah, this year, I don't know. I think part of it with me, too, is probably just because they didn't get a ton out of their draft class this year in terms of contributions. So, when they have so many other years in the past that immediately have had guys that have helped, and I think that subconsciously has factored in with me, too. And I don't think that I would be alone in this. I think there's probably some other people that follow the Cowboys or Cowboys fans that probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
Just after, you know, your first picks, Mozzie Smith and then Luke Schoonmaker and then DeMarvion Overshown get hurt. I mean, those are your premium picks that you would expect could help you right away.
Mm-hmm.
And to not get much from them, it's kind of hard to sit there and sell like, no, but this year, like, they're going to get this guy here and this guy here and this guy here, and they're all going to help immediately. And they might. You don't know. I mean, that's the thing about the draft from year to year. It's different. But also, I think they're going to take an offensive lineman in the first round, and
probably.
That's not as sexy as maybe some other positions when they
need. Oh, it's sexy, John.
I was about to say, Isaiah, that might be the one way to get him excited about.
That's
him.
Right. Yeah. That's right. I need O-line. Is that Brick?
Oh. It is Brick. Yeah. On the NFL Network. Our fans can't see that, though.
Sorry. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Got excited. I'm a little coach. O-line is definitely sexy.
Is it sexy?
Yeah. Yeah,
you might be interested. I don't know.
You know what is sexy? You know what's sexy?
Scoring points.
Looking at all the teams that were playing this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
all four teams had the ability to line up and just run the ball right at your face.
Yeah.
That's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just saying. If we're going to go ahead and put the title of sexy on it, that is it. Sexy, the definition of sexy in football is being able to run the ball and impose your will anytime you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, if you win the game that way, yeah, then it is. But if you lose the game,
you would like, to have the ability to do other things,
yeah.
right? But, I mean,
yeah.
like, the game of football, you should always be able to just line up and run it.
And this team, Cowboys team, was not able to do that at
all.
They
did not possess that this year.
No. And, but it makes you wonder, okay, does adding one premium offensive lineman draft pick going to change that? It might.
Yeah. You added Tyler Smith, and he did pretty doggone well.
Yeah.
And he's played two positions for you.
Yeah.
So
I think it could help and move it in the right direction. Is it going to be the be-all, end-all, solve-all problem? Probably not. But does that also limit you from doing anything else in terms of vamping your run game? Probably not.
3 years ago, Kansas City Chiefs swapped out four new offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
They got four new offensive linemen.
It's going into last year, so two full seasons.
Yeah, two
now.
Seasons ago. Yeah. They got four out of five offensive linemen. They're brand new, right? Whether in acquisitions, through free agency, or through the draft, right? And look where they are now.
Mm-hmm. I hate using them as an example.
Though. Okay, let's not use them then.
Yeah, they're a bad example.
Yeah, right. Because
Baltimore.
How about Baltimore? Hold on. Maybe we might disagree on this. So, like, I'm of the belief that I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes turns Carolina into an instant Super Bowl contender, what he like elevates even a Carolina Panthers to, he would make like players on their team that right now probably people in Carolina are like, man, you get rid of this guy, you get rid of this guy. Like, he elevates everybody's play so much higher than what I think it would be with a lot of other players that it's so difficult for me to judge Kansas City because of Patrick Mahomes, because he has he just has the it factor. He's just so special. We're watching greatness in its prime.
I totally agree.
So I just that's the only team I don't like using
him and
example.
Kelce both.
Right. I mean, and that defense. Sure. Those two guys are going to get a lot of the credit, Mahomes and Kelce, and they definitely should. They're both incredible, and they both have that it factor. But that defense is legit as well.
No,
that
very
defense
good.
Is nasty.
Great defensive coordinator, too, yeah.
But you look at the other three teams that were in the conference finals.
Yeah, let's talk about them.
Baltimore, number one rushing yards per game this year. San Francisco, number three rushing yards per game this year. And Detroit, number five rushing yards per game this year. So three of the top four teams in terms of the conference final finish were also three of the top five teams in terms of running the football.
And all those teams have good receivers and good quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Not great quarterbacks.
Somewhat. Yeah,
Yeah. But they can still throw the ball.
Yeah.
It doesn't negate their ability to be able to throw it as
and
well.
And a good run game helps your pass game, too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I swear that's kind of the thing around here, when you can run the ball.
Huh. Just for reference, Dallas finished 14th in that category, rushing yards per game.
That's interesting.
And that might have been ballooned by some games that were out of hand and you blew out. It probably.
Do you have the ability to go back and see when Dallas was ranked in the top five in rushing?
Oh, they probably were within the last couple of years, I would think.
I would say probably 21 or 22.
Yeah. 20, they weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet you one of these last 2 years, I thought they ran the ball pretty well.
Maybe they
didn't run it enough, but I thought they ran it well when they needed to the last couple of years.
They were ninth in 2022, 18th in yards per play. 2021, as my Wi-Fi is very slow. By the way, they were 20th in yards per play, yards per rush this year.
Mm.
So they were 14th overall, but they were 20th, bottom 12.
And what was that, like 4-something, 4.3?
It was 4.01-ish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was something like that. Now,
but I'm just interested because this offseason, there could be a lot of changes to the Cowboys' run game.
I believe so.
You know, whether you talk about adding offensive linemen in the draft, you know, running back position, I think there's going to be some new pieces there. So, and let's be honest, Mike McCarthy does want to run the ball. He's said this multiple times. I would think that there's going to be a lot of focus on how do they fix that? How do they get better in that area?
Do you think that he gave up on that this year?
To a certain extent, but I also think that to a certain extent you have to.
Okay.
If you can't just keep banging your head against the wall and be like, yeah, you know, we could have won 12 games and set ourselves up for the 2 seed, but I want to establish a running game, which never happened, and we got a wild card and – you know, we ended up as the 5 seed and whatever, lost in the first round, which I guess is the same thing that still happened. But I think adjusting their offense put them in a position to be the 2 seed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with how they've played at home, that's all you can ask for.
By the way, last time Dallas was in the top five in terms of rushing yards per game, 2019. So before McCarthy got here.
You're like 1993.
Yeah. 1976. No, it was they were fifth, 134 yards per game. They were fifth in both rushing yards per game and yards per play, yards per rush, 4.8.
Wow.
In 2019. Pretty good.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah. And they were also the top offense in the country that year because they were number two in passing and they were number one in total yards.
Interesting.
It is funny, though, because to me, this on paper was the best Cowboys team, especially with factoring in being battle tested, having gone through making playoffs, things like that. Like they were ready to roll, veteran coaching staff and all that. But it is interesting because when I go back to what would be the best team since then that the Cowboys have had? I go to 16 and 14. And when I think of 16 and 14, it's all about like how good they were at running the football.
What was the offensive line in 2019?
You still had Frederick. You had just gotten rid of Leary. So it was Smith, Martin, Frederick, Connor Williams.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that loss of Frederick is huge, man.
Who was your right tackle at that point?
Lyle?
No, it was Lyle. It was totally Lyle. Yeah, so there's your starting five offensive line. Pretty good offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just,
decent.
I just think the correlation is just crazy.
Yeah,
that's all.
But, I mean, I'm saying it is a freak thing that happened with Travis Frederick.
It was.
If you put Travis Frederick with this offensive line, just how it would elevate everything else around.
So it answers your question. Does one superstar offensive lineman change up how this offense is really ran.
You know that
could,
Travis Frederick is a superstar, though. Whenever you draft a guy at 24 overall, you're not certain
saying,
that
if
he's
you're
a superstar.
Able to go select, there's a solid. I don't know much about the draft, but to my
it's actually a really, really
it's deep
good
in terms of offensive line,
class,
to my understanding, okay? So whether you go in free agency, and I don't know how many guys are available, and grab a veteran offensive lineman, or you grab one of these young rookies who are capable, if you add an additional piece there, yes, I believe that. And I honestly, I'm in the mindset that you need to have two because I think that you need to bring somebody in to be the successor to Tyron. Okay, and I also think that you, if you can find a absolute dog, you dub on there. I see you. If you can find an absolute dog at center, okay, be honest. You know what you're going to get out of him, right? I'm not one to put limits on anybody, but I think that you have a great understanding as to what you can expect out of Tyler Biadasz.
He is a free agent, though.
Yeah. I understand that. That's what I'm saying. So yeah. You have a choice to retain him or not.
Yeah.
But if you can find somebody that's an upgrade to that position, I would love to see you find a successor to Tyron and find a replacement for Tyler. Thank you for what you've done. You've done a good job, but I would like to see somebody who's bigger, more physical, more dominant at the center of your offensive line. Somebody who touches the ball every time. I want a complete just pit bull.
What about when you talk about that? What about the idea that, you know, you bring in this young center who, I guess you could say take him in the first round, second round, whatever. You bring him in. What about the knowledge? You know, I kind of feel like that position, there's so much going on. You have to know so much about the game. Bringing in a young guy from college, the growing pains that you have to go through.
I would much rather bring in a first round left tackle and bring in a veteran center if I had the choice.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, you're left tackle of the future, too, because you could either move Tyler Smith out to left tackle or you could keep him at guard where he's been very successful and you throw a guy out of the left tackle that you trust. And then you've got those two guys for a significant amount of time.
And then you hope that they can stay healthy, and correct. You could get at least four of them.
Yeah,
I feel like asking for five is too much, but at least four guys that are going to be constantly there week after week and kind of build around that. But I do like that idea, though, when you say about the veteran center position, because like I said, like, yeah, it's great to have, man, I'm trying to think of who was the one that like everybody loved. Was it Tyler Linderbaum?
Yeah.
Is he a center?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like a guy like that instantly comes in. Everyone's awesome. Like, yeah, you like love him and that. And then did he go in the first round?
He went in the first round. Yes.
Yeah.
He was playing this past weekend with the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But you said, though, like.
Number one rushing team in the country.
First round.
Didn't they pick up another offensive lineman that same year?
Probably, yeah. The Ravens are an incredible drafting class. Yeah. I can give you an actual answer there. But
I think they picked up some. I remember them drafting a giant offensive lineman.
I mean,
I think it was, I don't know if it was last year.
I just feel like that's what the Ravens do.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. With that being said, though, you're talking about not watching these practices. You may want to watch these practices. There's about four or five individuals, Isaiah, that are offensive linemen that are legitimate players that the Cowboys could draft at 24.
Yeah.
Legitimate offensive linemen. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Okay.
You've got the Arizona offensive tackle. You've got, there's another Oregon center. That's really good. Jackson Powers Johnson. Dude, he's a dude. I promise. I know he played for the wrong team, but he's a good player.
He's off Isaiah's board.
Yeah, he's done.
I do enjoy reading about the draft. Like at The Athletic, Dane Brugler, I believe he's the best in the business. And I love reading. Like, he's obviously out at the Senior Bowl. I love reading his stuff and the takeaways people have from being out there. I'm not one of these guys like sitting in the stands with a stopwatch and
acting
like
I love that stuff. If I could be in Mobile right now, I would totally be in Mobile right now. Yeah. I usually go, but we've got triplets on the way, so
I will say like
I'm going to hold tight.
I'm going to stay put. So this off season, next year I will be back in Mobile.
That's probably smart. This past year though, I did enjoy going on Saturday at the combine to watch the wide receivers run the 40s. Like, I enjoyed that because who all these top receivers are. You saw most of them in college, and I'll probably do that again at the
last year was the first year they let us actually in the building to watch it too, which was really cool. So
I'll see. I heard there's a good wide receiver from Washington there. I'll tell him. I know
there's a couple guys there. There's a pretty decent quarterback coming out of the class too. Good memory, by the way. Daniel Filelli from Minnesota, 6'8", 385 pounds is who they drafted. That same year they took Tyler Linderbaum in the first. They took him a little bit later on. Yeah. So
I remember that.
Good one. Yeah. He was the second tallest player and the largest player in terms of weight in the draft. So he was very, very, very high in that regard. Let's get to a little bit of news and notes, John. There's a couple little nuggets from this past week that Cowboys fans would find interesting.
Yeah, I think the biggest one by far, and it's actually two, is just who are the new offensive and defensive coordinators for the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, for offensive coordinator, it would be Kellen Moore to come over from the Chargers. And I did find it entertaining, and as I reached out to a few other colleagues that work in the NFL, how Cowboys fans on Twitter reacted to the Kellen Moore news. Yeah. Like, happy that that happens. I'm just like, oh, be careful with what you wish for with that one there. What did you guys think about that? I was kind of surprised.
I was shocked, too. One, because of the style of play that they seemingly want to play with running the football and using Jalen Hurts as a runner. It just doesn't feel like they lined up well with Kellen. But I agree with you. I'm surprised in the fact that everybody's happy that he's going to Philadelphia and the fact that he's a good offensive coordinator. Yeah. He had an okay year in L.A. I mean, we just talked about how he had the top offense in Dallas multiple years, even though they couldn't run the football from 2020 forward. But this is a team that has a ton of prospects. They have a ton of weapons, and he's going to find a way to utilize those weapons.
Yeah, I don't like him being in Philly. I don't like it. I don't know why people would be happy. I don't know what people are leaning on as if it's a good thing that you're going to see him twice a year. Kellen Moore's a dude. He's a dude. Is there things that he needs to continue to develop and change about his offensive play, you know, calling style? Absolutely.
He's not perfect.
He's still a young offensive coordinator. I mean, Andy Reid's been around the league for 172 years, so, I mean, he's a Jedi.
I thought it was 173.
Yeah, sorry, I missed a year.
Yeah.
But Kellen Moore is still young. I mean, what is he? He's in his 30s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like mid-30s maybe?
I think so.
Yeah, so, like, he's still learning a lot about the game and a lot about himself and tendencies and all that jazz, but you give somebody weapons, we've seen what he's
Kellen
done.
Kellen Moore
when he has
is
weapons.
29.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm just kidding. He's 35.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way he's 29.
He's
30.
He's 35.
Yeah, 35 is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's on his, what, third job?
Yeah.
Right? Third OC job,
third OC job.
With three solid teams and three solid quarterbacks.
The amount of experience that he's
– to Herbert to Hurts.
Yeah, the amount of experience that he's gathered and where he's going to be eventually is going to be a problem in this league. So, Cowboys Nation, I'm not sure why you would be happy that you have to face this man with those weapons twice a year, because he's never failed anybody in regards of getting his playmakers the ball. He does that. In the running game, that just a lot of that comes in the form of, yes, your approach, but if he has a solid offensive line coach, that fixes that problem right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a scary thing with him with those weapons.
He's just part of a Cowboys offense that the team ultimately came up short of where a lot of people thought they should go. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is then you become kind of a scapegoat, and that's what happened with him.
Yep.
Was he the best offensive coordinator in the league? No, but he gets far too much blame than he probably deserved for them coming up short. And then you see like what happens this year, and it's not really that much different in terms of the results of the season. I'm not saying the offense was the same, but the results of the season aren't that much different. And it kind of makes you go like, okay, well, sometimes at the end of the day, kind of comes down to the players too, you know.
Facts.
You can put them in positions; they also have to execute.
I can
lead
a horse to a water, but I can't make you drink.
Right. So.
Yeah, he's a dude, I'm not sure why he gets that flag outside of Dallas, but
well, there was frustration at the end of his tenure here, and there was a lack of growth. I think when he was hired as the offensive coordinator in 2019, you expected to see him take steps forward, and instead, he kind of plateaued in Dallas specifically, and he got a chance with. L.A. had a lot more problems than just Kellen Moore. That was not all on Kellen Moore with the Chargers.
Facts.
They changed coaching staffs, and of course, whenever you change staffs, you change from top to bottom. And so he now gets a second opportunity. And of course, Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni thought, hey, he's done enough in our eyes to go and give him this position, to give him an offensive coordinator role in a team that is desperate, just like Dallas is, to get back to where they once were. Sure, they've been there more recently, but they certainly were talking about Nick Sirianni's job and his security going into it. He's not going to hire just any coordinator on the street.
No.
He's not hiring guys that he doesn't trust. His job is certainly on the line going into this year. So, yeah, there's a lot of trust around the league in Kellen Moore. And while there was some frustration with Dallas and the way the things ended, he had a lot of good runs here. He had a lot of good teams and some players here that worked out well. Just didn't have the playoff success that you wanted.
I'm just always interested when a guy is respected more within the league than maybe by fans.
Sure.
So that he certainly seems to be the case there.
But there's also a lot of guys that are reverse like that are respected by fans and not so much within inner circles inside the league.
So they also made a change of defensive coordinator in Philadelphia, and now they have Vic Fangio.
And I knew you would have something to say about
that. So I feel like they're kind of getting two coordinators that are I mean, if any, as interesting as it is for the Philadelphia Eagles and their fan base,
polar opposites.
The other part is that they're both fascinating hires from a Cowboys fan standpoint, because you are very familiar with both of these coordinators. Do there's not a lot of gray area there. So, what were your thoughts on Vic Fangio going to the Eagles?
I didn't have a lot of thoughts in regards to that. I thought it was kind of weird how he got out of Miami.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was like a head nod.
Like, he might have family up.
He has family there, okay. But I'm not sure if that was Miami saying, okay, yes, like we respect you enough to go home, go be with your family. Or if that was like, yeah, things weren't really going that well anyways. Like, okay, go be with your family. You know, so I'm not sure how that went down, but it doesn't really matter.
I don't think it was a Wink Martindale situation where he cussed out the head coach and stormed out of a
office. Then maybe it was more like a Kellen Moore in Dallas one. Where
maybe.
Him and Mike got together and we're like, hey, ultimately it's probably better we go separate ways.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't really have many thoughts on the Vic Fangio. I think he's a veteran defensive coordinator in this league. He's had a lot of success. It really comes down to the weapons, and they have a lot of them. So, again, that's somebody who has a lot of knowledge, somebody who's very creative. I think offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are both creative now for Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and they have the talent. Anytime you can take somebody whose whole entire job is putting guys in position to be successful, and they're creative as all get out, and they have the talent to do so, it's dangerous.
When you say that, though, I guess, I don't know. I guess I don't – I think they're talented. I don't think they're really that – I don't know. Like, I look at their front in Philadelphia, but I don't look at that back end as being anything.
No, absolutely.
Anything.
I mean, but their secondary
they need work.
No, the secondary is work, yeah. I mean, but that's one position.
Yeah.
So when you go into a draft or you go into an offseason –
Like, you like their linebackers?
Linebackers aren't terrible. Linebackers aren't terrible. But
their D-line.
Your linebackers don't have to be amazing when you have that defensive line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you go into an offseason needing a position group that you need to upgrade, that makes it so much easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that stuff to me is like, they got draft picks, and we know that they know how to Fandango a doggone roster. So that's not an issue. They never had an issue with that. So if they know that they have a weakness, they're going to address it.
He was a consultant with Philadelphia back in 2022, so just remember that. So the year that they went to the Super Bowl, he was a consultant. He was in the building.
Yeah.
It is interesting how, like you said, John, and I completely agree with you, how there is a Cowboys connection, but it's really from one game. I mean, he's been around the league as a defensive coordinator since 1995.
Yep.
He's been almost every spot in the AFC and the NFC, doesn't really matter. He's been all over the place. But it's that one game, 30-16 in 2021, when the Denver Broncos came in. He was the head coach, and they had the blueprint, is what they called it. And from that point forward, he's latched on to Cowboys fans as the guy who came up with the blueprint and pretty much derailed a
crazy how one
momentum
game can
Cowboys
change
team.
Your future, huh?
Yeah,
I always think of it with the Cowboys, just because I remember when he was in Chicago for a few years there. It's like he was the DC and Mike McCarthy was calling the offense for the Packers. And so they had there's some familiarity there. And so that's why they know each other. But then again, when you've coached as long as Mike McCarthy, there's going to be a lot of connections. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a DC from 2015 to 2018 before taking the Broncos job in 2019 in Chicago, by the way, DC in Chicago.
Other thing I want to get to, we've got some additions to the Pro Bowl for the Cowboys.
Let's talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's take a break real quick, and when we come back, let's talk about the Pro Bowl, and then also, what's happening with Dan Quinn? What is next for Dan Quinn? There's been a bit of pause on the Seahawks side of things. When we come back here on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's BlackRifleCoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at BankofAmerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. This portion of the show is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. Isaiah?
No.
Dang it.
By the time I'm able to get here, they shut down breakfast.
Hmm.
They're shutting down earlier, oats. Then. I can't. I have a job, Kyle.
You were here early all season.
I know. That's when the Cowboys actually wanted to pay me. Now the Cowboys don't work no more.
Oh. Should I stop asking then? Should I stop asking about the oats?
No.
Maybe until next year?
I don't know. Maybe Beamer will start setting me aside some oats. I got to get a microwave in there.
Set me aside some oats.
Save the oats.
Can't have cold oats, man. I'm not a cold oats guy. Yeah, some people like to put their oats in the refrigerator overnight.
Pretty sure that's
ooh,
cold.
Those are fire, though.
No, that's not my thing.
Different. That's overnight oats. That's a completely different thing.
I'm not an overnight. The only thing I'm eating overnight is going to be pizza. So...
Mm. That's the only thing?
Yeah, so like if you leave it out?
That sounds good to me, to be honest with you.
Cold pizza? I like cold pizza every once in a while, but
there's really not bad pizza.
No.
Where do you put your pizza at?
Where?
Yeah, like if you order pizza at night, right? Most people do. Okay. The next day, like where are you pulling the pizza from? Are you pulling it from the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Are you pulling it from the microwave?
Fridge.
The
oven?
Fridge. But I know people put it in the oven, but I'm a fridge guy.
You're a fridge guy?
Yeah.
I put it in tin foil so it doesn't take up like a whole like Tupperware or whatever. Yeah. You put it in tin foil and you slide it in there and it doesn't take up a whole lot of room. You pull it right back out.
That's the question we should ask the fans. Where do you put your pizza?
Where do you put your pizza? We don't have the text line.
You don't put it in the fridge?
Sometimes.
Okay.
But it makes it really like hard. Then you have to put it in the what do you call it? Not the regular oven.
Air fryer?
Yeah, you got to put it in the air fryer to get the cheese all right again.
Put your pizza in the air fryer?
I've never done that.
Man, my wife makes these kids pizzas bougie.
That sounds awesome, honestly.
Yeah, it does sound good.
It is. Actually, like, it revives it.
Okay.
Just by the way, we were talking in the last segment about veteran offensive linemen that are available this year as free agents. I just did a generic search, and it took me to PFF, Pro Football Focus. And I haven't done a deep dive in veteran free agents or anything yet, but their top-rated center on the offensive line market this year.
Don't do it.
Would you like to take a guess?
I already know. For you to bring this up.
Connor Williams, Miami Dolphins. That is your top-rated center right now, according to Pro Football Focus, as your best veteran that you could bring in.
Where is the Cowboy center on that list?
Not above Connor Williams, apparently. You thought I was going to say Tyler Biadasz?
I did.
Yeah. The next one is Andre James, Las Vegas Raiders. That might be a decent fit. I'll get back to you.
They moved Connor Williams to center
because
he didn't. I want to say when he signed, he was signed to play guard.
Yes, he was.
And then like maybe camp they went through. Maybe it was first couple weeks of camp. They're like, I think he'd be better at center. Yeah,
Lloyd Cushenberry from the Denver Broncos. I liked him out of Oklahoma. Whenever he came out of the draft, that would be a fun add.
I'm looking for Tyler Biadasz, and I'm still scrolling. I'm in the 60s now.
Oh, my.
There's no way he's in the 60s.
Unless I missed him earlier, which is possible.
He's got to be in the top 32.
He's got to be one of. He's good enough to be a starting center
in
the NFL.
Holy cow. They have him at 93.
Overall?
Yeah, like,
of all positions?
All of the positions.
He's like of centers.
Yeah, no, not of centers. Yeah. All positions. He is number 93 as the top free agents in the NFL this year.
Judging by how Cowboys have done business recently, that's probably going to be your center. They'll probably get him for an affordable price, and they'll be like, this is a better option because he's been in the building than bringing somebody else. I'm not saying that's what I would do. I'm not saying that's what Isaiah would do. I'm just saying
what I would do or what the fans would do. Right.
But I'm saying you follow the breadcrumbs of how things have gone.
Sure.
That would not surprise me.
I think the way that Tyler Biadasz's situation happens this year is going to tell you a lot about how this offseason is going to go. That one specific player might be a microcosm of what everything else is going to look like. Because if you keep your coaching staff and you keep your players the same, how do you expect to run it back and go into 2024 and have better success?
You're going to keep your coaching staff, Kyle?
They already have. Mike McCarthy? I mean, we'll talk about Dan Quinn in a minute. Okay. But Mike McCarthy is still here. He is – when I'm saying your coaching staff, that's what it is. And you might keep your defensive coordinator too. But if you don't change anything from a coaching staff standpoint, how are you going to get better if you expect to just run it back and for things to stay the same? If they go out and they re-sign a Tyler Biadasz, that's saying, okay, it's the same thing as like you said in the past. It's we like our guys. We would like to keep our guys. We want to keep moving forward and building whatever we have here. Whereas if you let Tyler Biadasz go and you're aggressive in adding a free agent or going out and drafting or whatever it ends up being on the offensive front, I think it's a completely different mindset maybe.
Whatever happened to evolution, Kyle? You saying the guys can get better?
They can get better. They certainly can.
I don't think fans want to wait for that.
Nobody wants to wait and watch it get better. They want to be aggressive.
Yeah, and I think part of that could be, I'm not saying they would do two moves like they did last year, but why not kick the tires on doing another one of those Gilmore-type Brandon Cooks trades where you bring in a veteran who, you're going to have to give up a late-round pick, but it helps you immediately. And the reason why I think that could be a factor again is because you would only back away from that thinking if it bit you. And I think they got good return on the investment. And so that's why I could see them being more willing to do more of that. Because let's not act like they always were doing that. Like, I mean, just covering the Cowboys for 13 years, like when they did those moves last year, which again, those were in whatever, March, April-ish, that time of year, that kind of surprised me that they did that. So I could see them potentially going down that road again. But yeah, I don't think you can just keep the exact same roster and think you're just going to run it back that way. There has to be some type of changes on this roster.
All right. Speaking of changes on the roster, we mentioned Dan Quinn, but you had one other news and note that you wanted to get to in terms of changes on the Pro Bowl roster.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very professional. That was impressive how you did that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. Three additions from the Cowboys to the Pro Bowl roster. I know everyone's excited about this. DeMarcus Lawrence has been added. Jake Ferguson has been added, and Tyler Smith. So,
hey, Tyler.
Tyler Smith is replacing Zach Martin, who is not going to compete in it.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Lawrence is replacing Nick Bosa, who will be playing in the Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And DeMarcus said that this would happen. You know, he said it at his locker. He goes, when he didn't get originally picked for the Pro Bowl, I asked him if it bothered him, and he said, he had a longer answer, but in it he said that, well, it's probably going to be me or Bosa because Bosa's in it right now. If his team goes to the Super Bowl, then he's going to be in it. But if we go to the Super Bowl, then I don't care because I would rather be playing in the Super Bowl than go to the Pro Bowl. So with Bosa going to the Super Bowl, he's out. And then also Jake Ferguson gets in because George Kittle is going to the Super Bowl. So while now the Cowboys technically have 10 Pro Bowlers, they would obviously like to have none and all be playing in 2 weeks.
I mean, that's the general thought. Is it's nice to see the recognition, but it also didn't turn into a Super Bowl trip, and that's kind of what you wanted to happen. But
yeah,
congratulations, all those guys, though.
Yeah, and it speaks for the talent that you have on the team. Like anybody that sits there and says that this was not a talented roster, I completely disagree with.
I totally agree with you, John. I think people are crazy. Everybody calling for Double J and he needs to get out of it. I'm like, what's your job as a general manager again? Like,
build a roster.
Build a roster, build a coaching staff.
Put your team in a position to be successful.
I think they've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah,
so I'm not really sure what else you can expect there, buddy, old pal.
The only other part of that, if I'm speaking for the fans right now.
Speak for the fans.
I would say is they would probably be fine with maybe less times talking to myself and others in the media and maybe.
But he's the brand.
I get that, but some people think the brand is what's getting in the way, and it's kind of hard to argue.
Mm.
Every year that goes by, you don't get back there, you can argue that that Sorry, we can't have these Senior Bowl highlights on.
No, yeah, Isaiah, at the beginning of the show, it's like, I'm not interested in Senior Bowl highlights.
There you got one-on-ones going on.
Watching one-on-ones on the offensive linemen.
We need to give him a TV like that.
Let's just
put it on behind Cowboys, and that he can just...
I don't think the NFL would mind. That's just extra viewership for them, right? That's all it would be. But, yeah, I think this roster was good enough. That's part of the frustration.
Yes.
The roster was good enough to be... in the mix, to be in the conversation, and ultimately it wasn't good enough to get the job done. So where does that blame start? I think a lot of it goes to your coaching staff, and it goes to the preparation and the mindset of the players, and you try and point fingers wherever you can. But this roster was good, and you can make it better, no doubt. There are weaknesses, just like any other team. There are weaknesses up on that roster, and part of it is running the football, part of it is in your stopping linebacker roles. Yeah, stopping a run. Yeah, there's got to win the trenches. So, speaking of, Dan Quinn has still not been hired yet as a head coach. John Machota, have you heard anything specifically on Dan and what that process has looked like over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, he's obviously interviewed with the Seahawks multiple times. I mean, he's been the guy that people have talked about for a long time now. Is like, well, this is the obvious guy that they're going to hire. And
they also have Raheem Morris in that conversation.
True. And he's now longer available. So it's one of those things where it comes down to, okay, well, there's only two jobs open right now. It's Seattle and Washington. And so many people have thought that, Dan Quinn is going to get the Seattle job. And then Ben Johnson, the OC from the Lions, is going to get the Washington job. But then yesterday, ESPN's Adam Schefter said that, I can't remember how he worded it. I was looking it up. I can't find it exactly how he said it, but it was basically like, yeah, don't expect both of those. Those both are not going to happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if, like, neither of them happen, which would be stunning to both. Yes. I mean, because it's been, like, this foregone conclusion for weeks now that Dan Quinn's going to get the Seattle job, Ben Johnson's going to get the Washington job. And so there's obviously some other candidates that all these teams are still interviewing. I still would have Dan Quinn as the leader in the clubhouse, though. I mean, if you were betting money on it, I would say that I still think that he's going to be Seattle's head coach. But if
what do
he's
you feel
not,
like
he's
taking so long, though? I mean, a lot of teams want to just do their due diligence and really put together a research panel. But I mean, why is it taking so long?
Yeah, I've always found that if teams are taking this long to make a hire, that they're waiting on the teams that are actually in the playoffs to finish.
Hmm.
That's what I've always seen. Whether that falls true or if
you've got two teams left, so
it's two teams left. I mean, but you know, a couple teams just finished up, right?
So they're waiting on Andy Reid.
I mean, no, I mean, but like Aaron Glenn was in that conversation of some coaches, right, for potential head coaching opportunities. So I'm sure they wanted an opportunity to speak with him. He just finished up what 2 days ago, so they now have opportunity to speak with Baltimore's staff, and they have opportunity to speak with Detroit staff. So if there were guys that you had on your list,
Mike McDonald's big name.
If there were guys that you had on your list that are now available for you to speak and meet with, then you want to give them that opportunity. Sure. You don't want to jump the gun, even though I would say, hey, you know, I'm 80% sure that I'm probably going to go with Kyle, but you know what, JM's over there, he just finished at the playoffs. At least let me at least talk with him for a second, just in case.
It's a good idea.
You know, it's a good idea just to talk to him, just in case, just to confirm or deny my initial thoughts. So I think that that's probably what they're going through. They just want to give their respect to those guys and give themselves the open mindedness to be able to at least speak with those guys and give them their due process.
So this is the exact quote from Schefter. He was on with Pat McAfee and said, people have said that Ben Johnson is going to Washington and Dan Quinn is going to Seattle. I will bet you that at a minimum, one of those is not right, and maybe both.
Ooh.
So.
Wow. Good to know.
I know people in Detroit would be very surprised if Ben Johnson doesn't get one of these head coaching jobs. So.
Sure.
He has been the favorite for that Washington job. This is going on the last month. And the Dan Quinn thing, ever since Pete Carroll said that he was... Oh, they parted ways, whatever. He's been the favorite for that job.
Yeah.
So
that blows my mind. Obviously, being a Seattle guy, that really blows my mind that Seattle hasn't pulled the trigger. And I don't know how much that last game played a role in it. I honestly think, just knowing how Snyder moves, that the guy that he really wants, is probably still coaching.
Yeah. Still going.
Yeah.
And I would put them in, they're probably my top five, top seven best run organizations in the NFL. So this isn't like this is, you know, well, I'm not going to name any names, but there's some organizations where you just feel like every year they're looking for a new head coach. Every year there's like a different direction they're going in the draft, whatever. Yeah. Seattle's not like that.
Nope.
So
they don't want turnover.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty good idea of where they're headed.
They've had two coaches in the last 30. I don't even know how many years it's been.
Yeah. All right, let's take our second break. When we come back, we're going to get Nick Harris on the phone.
Oh, Nicholas.
From Mobile, Alabama, with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free five-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. Blackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talking Cowboys, this segment of the show is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. We are all smiles today as we welcome in from Mobile, Alabama, live from Senior Bowl practice. It's our very own Nick Harris on the line. Nick, what's going on, bud?
Oh, not too much. What's going on, fellas? It's beautiful weather down here in Mobile. Missing you guys, though. Hate that I had to miss the one show of the week, but it's all right. We'll get it back next week.
We'll bounce back next week in a big way. Who has caught your eye? John Machota asked that in the break. I want to ask it straight up. Who's really turning heads out there in Mobile?
Yeah, I'll give you a little teaser and then dive into it a little bit more in the draft show here in about an hour. But so far, Oregon sitter Jackson Powers Johnson, I know that's a guy that a lot of Cowboys fans are looking at, and he's seen his stock rise pretty quickly over the course of the last couple of weeks. I mean, we were looking at him as potentially a late second-round pick a couple of weeks ago, and now he's starting to get mocked in the top 20. So he's only improving his stock by being out here, and so far it's been pretty good. He's working center and right guard. We're only in about the first hour of the first team practicing today, so it hasn't been too much that we've been able to see, but getting an opportunity to look at Arizona tackle Jordan Morgan as well. That's another one that's been mocked to the Cowboys by some various websites, so definitely one to keep an eye on, but this week it's going to be fun regardless.
It's going to be tough to see linebackers outside of reads and thumping up and just some of those things throughout a week, but has any of these linebackers stood out? Because if Dallas doesn't go offensive line in the first round, they may be looking at that second level in the first or second round either.
Yeah, Kyle, you know I like North Carolina State linebacker Peyton Wilson, mm-hmm. and he looks the part. He does not look like a guy that's had two knee surgeries whenever he moves around. I mean, he's really agile. He moves great. And then we're getting an opportunity to look at North Carolina linebacker Cedric Graham, actually watching him go through a rep right now. He's looked pretty good. And then Notre Dame linebacker Maris Luafau. All three of those guys have kind of stood out to me so far here in this first practice.
When you obviously you knew for a while that you'd be going out there, well, and let's say you boarded your plane, what would you say was like a player or two that you were most excited about that you get to see this week?
Oh, I think Jackson Powers Johnson was probably number one for me. I wanted to see him. And then getting an opportunity to look at the UCLA edge rusher, Lautu. He's had a couple of really big wins so far here early on. And he's actually a little bit leaner than I expected seeing him in person. I mean, whatever NFL team grabs him, they'll have that athleticism, but then they'll kind of have the flexibility to maybe add 15 or 20 pounds to him as well. I think he's a surefire, you know, top 15 pick, if not top 10. Those are the two guys that really stand out. And I really like those G5 school guys and the Toledo corner, Kenyon Mitchell. We're starting to get some late first-round love. Really excited to see him as well. Got an opportunity to kind of watch him go through some individual drills. So, I mean, this game is so talented. It'd be tough to wrap it all up in just about 30 seconds as far as the guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing. But it's been fun so far. And then your boy Michael Penix, I think, he's looking strong so far.
I was just about to ask that.
Doggone right he is. Rocking that gold helmet with the W on the side.
Do you think he would run better than a 4.50 or 4.58 40?
Don't do that.
You think
Kyle.
He's got a
don't
better 40 than Isaiah? 4.58?
Don't disrespect my 40
yeah,
time.
From what I've heard, Michael Penix is the fastest Washington quarterback to ever go through that program.
That is a falsified statement.
I feel like that's easy picking. So like, I think I would be the fastest to go through that program, honestly.
This is so false. This is crazy.
Yeah. Just wait till he goes to the combine. It's going to be bad news for you, Isaiah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro, that's okay. I just pulled up my 60 time. Me and Tyreek Hill ran the same time.
Okay. All right.
Whatever. How about that? Say 4.58 to that, buddy.
Nick, appreciate you. We'll check back in with you later, Tuesday, for Talking Cowboys. We'll talk to you on the draft show here in a little bit as well. So,
hey, bro, Hammer, you enjoy yourself. You take some good notes.
Appreciate it, guys. Y'all hold it down for me.
Have some good seafood while you're out there, please.
Seafood.
Do it for me.
That's a done deal. Oysters are already on the docket.
Yeah, legitimate out there.
Oh.
All right, Nick. Have a good one.
Sound good. Y'all be easy.
There's Nick Harris, live from Senior Bowl practice in Mobile.
Oysters?
You're not an oysters guy? No, come on. John?
I think I've said this on here before, but I'll say it again. I don't eat any seafood. So
that's right.
Sorry, guys.
Right.
Sorry.
You have said that before.
I was hoping you didn't bring it up because I know so many people are offended when I say it, but yeah, I don't eat any seafood.
The oysters in Mobile are solid. Mm. They're solid. Okay. We're going to talk about this off air. I don't want to gross anybody out on the show. That does it for us here on Talking Cowboys. I know. It goes by quick.
Come on, man.
It goes by real quick.
I need more than 45 minutes a week, bro.
What? That's all we've got.
Doggone
45
it.
Minutes a week.
Doggone it.
Yeah. We'll be back on Tuesday. Break it down for you. 10 a.m. Central Time next Tuesday.
That's not enough.
Nick Harris will be back in the building. John Machota will be back in the building. Isaiah Stanback, we'll see if he shows up or not.
Yeah, I'm here.
We'll be out at Senior Bowl practice.
I'm here.
We've got Chris Beam in the back for Isaiah Stanback. Nick Harris out in Mobile for John Machota. I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long from Talking Cowboys. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!